Good afternoon and welcome to the Followell Company. This is the Ignite Leadership Series podcast. Our podcast today will feature fellow Christian, former coworker, and friend of mine, Mark Colebush. I met Mark back in Marion, Illinois, working on a unique project of building a new hospital and replacing an aging infrastructure and adding an open heart surgery program at the new site. Mark has a strong financial background and spent the entire front end of his 33-year career in healthcare as a CFO and in other executive roles, and has recently made a career change to be a financial coach. Mark has been happily married for 26 years to Janet. They are the proud parents of three children. So let's welcome to the podcast, Mark Colebush. Well, Mark, I've given an intro on you. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about you personally?
Okay, Rob, good to be with you today. I am married for 26 years now to Janet, and she's my rock. She's helped me through thick and thin. We have three children, Jason, who's now on his own. He graduated from Georgia Tech last year.
Awesome.
And just after 1 year on the job, he already got a promotion to a senior software engineer, so we're very proud of him.
Fantastic. Chip and, off the old block.
I'm not sure about that, but maybe. He lives in Midtown Atlanta and is doing fine, so we're like I said, we're proud of him. And then our second child is Mary Claire. She's actually just arrived at Athens for her third year at UGA. And I'm really proud of her and how much she's matured since she's graduated from high school. So that's number two. And number three is our little angel. And I do mean that angel, Jack, because Jack passed away back in 2006 at the age of five from cancer.
Wow.
So we'll talk a little bit more about Jack in the future in the conversation here. But I do like to do a lot of things with my wife, my two adult children, and then when I do have spare time, I like to run to keep in shape and maybe a little weightlifting here or there, and I like to hit the golf course. I'm not very good, but I like to get out there and play.
That's why it's a hobby, right? And you're not on the PGA.
Yeah, those guys are amazing.
Yes, they are.
I wish I could hit it like them.
Well, Mark, like myself, you've made some pretty significant changes in your career over the last year. Tell us a little bit about what made you make this major change in life and how that's gone, and you know, really what led up to you and your purpose in life.
Well, like you mentioned in the introduction, Rob, I spent 33 years in the healthcare industry, and like many non-clinicians, I kind of fell into healthcare by accident. My dad used to work for the United Parcel Service, and one of the people on his route was a gentleman by the name of Mr. Gimmel, who was the CEO of the hospital there in town. And my dad gave Mr. Gimmel my CV, and next thing you know, I have a job as an accountant for the hospital. And shortly thereafter that, I went down to the D.C. area and got my feet wet with a series of jobs at one location in Reston, Virginia, and basically worked my way up the finance ladder and became a CFO. And took my first CFO job basically right after my son Jason was born. So that's about 23 years ago. And then during the course of my career, I worked for about four different hospitals as a CFO. And they were all different. Where I met you in Marion, Illinois, that was obviously a very unique setting.
So that it was.
Enjoyed
it.
Yes, for sure. Enjoyed that and learned a lot there. And then after my son Jack passed away in 2006, Janet and I were kind of faced with a decision about my career, because pretty much at the same time Jack passed away, the ownership of that hospital went from LifePoint to Tenet. And Tenet brought in their own CFO. So in order for me to stay with LifePoint, I would have to relocate. And Jen and I thought at that time, because, you know, Jason and Mary Claire were 11 and 8, and forcing them to relocate would be very disruptive to their young lives, you know, after losing their brother so recently. So we made a family decision for me to look for another position in the area. And at that point, I found a job as the CEO of Low Country Medical Group, which is a fairly large multi-specialty group. They had 30 providers, 20 doctors, and 10 mid-levels. And I always like to say they had 12 partners, but 13 opinions. They were an interesting group, and learned a lot working with them. And then the most recent healthcare facility I worked for was the Level 1 Trauma Center in Savannah, which is over 600 beds. As I was working there, I worked there about 7 years, I slowly began to realize that, you know, since I wasn't providing actual hands-on care, I wasn't actually directly helping any one individual. So I started thinking about and pondering the question, how can I, with the background I currently have, actually help people? And I thought about my financial background, and, you know, the financial services industry kept speaking to me because of the one-on-one nature of that business. And I did some research, and of all the companies out there in that line of work, MassMutual kind of stood out to me because they really have a best interest attitude towards their clients. They really take their clients' best interest at heart. And they're the only company out there that has paid dividends for 160 years straight without missing a year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. And they're not a company that has shareholders. They only have policyholders. So they really work in the behalf of the policyholders and pay all the profits basically back to the policyholders. So I'm really happy on the decision I've made. And I really feel I'm truly helping people, and kind of, you know, it's really remarkable how the feeling you get when you step out and you help someone, and they had no idea that they could do A, B, C, or D, and it turns out that it's just remarkably to their financial benefit.
Yes. Wow. I love it. Where do you feel like in your career and in life you've excelled? So your niche, and why do you think that is? For everybody, that's different.
Yeah, I think it's a couple things for me. One, I have a very strong work ethic, and I have to thank my parents for that. And over the course of my young career, I became very organized, both inside my head as well as, you know, being organized means your computer files and your paper files have to be organized as well. So I think both inside my head as well as, you know, externally, I'm organized. And then I think the other thing that really helps me in life is I treat people with respect. And what I found is that that earns me respect in return. And I really feel like in all areas of my life, I've excelled. And it's because of, you know, God and my parents, definitely my wife, and all the mentors I've had throughout my career that have helped me learn and grow. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to have good bosses that treat me with respect, and that kind of rubs off to be respectful to not only your coworkers, but everyone you come in touch with.
Yeah, no doubt. We all have those times where we don't live up to either our own expectations or the expectations of others. Oftentimes, these are our greatest times of learning and growing. Can you tell us about a time where you didn't live up to either your expectations or those of others, and what you learned from it, how you came through it, where you moved on from there?
Well, I guess the example that best fits that question is right after my son died. And I guess I tried to disguise my grief with selfish behaviors, and I just wasn't myself. I became a loner. I didn't seek to be with my family. Kind of only thought about myself instead of being there for Jen and Jason and Mary Claire. You know, my friends stopped calling, and I let my wife and my children down. And instead of being a rock for them, I kind of went out on my own. And thank goodness for Janet, because she helped me through all that. And, you know, I think back, and it's a perfect example of you reap what you sow, because, you know, I wanted to be alone, and I forced myself to be alone, and I didn't have anybody until I broke through and kind of went back to, you know, being my old self and being respectful of others and giving of myself rather than being alone.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that with us. That's, again, we all face those times. Fortunately, not all of us have to go through what you've gone through, but all of us have those times, and being able to hear from someone else and learn and understand is powerful. So thanks for sharing that.
Certainly, Rob.
What leadership principles and styles do you really live by, and in your business and professional life do you strive for?
Well, I like to use what I call the servant leadership, and you may have heard of that term before or read books on that before.
I live it.
That's great. And, you know, that whole servant leadership is based on not having an ego. In my opinion, if you have an ego and you're a leader, you are going to be despised by those people who are unlucky enough to be forced to be around you. But I think good leaders must take an attitude kind of reflected by the inverted pyramid, where the leader's on the bottom supporting everybody. And my style has always been open door. I'm always there for my staff. And I always let anybody do kind of what they want, run with the ball, freedom to learn and grow. Sometimes they make mistakes and learn by those mistakes. And in cases where appropriate, like to be a mentor and help them through, but always supportive. That's really the key, is to support your staff.
Excellent. Excellent. I couldn't have said it better myself.
I guess we think alike.
Absolutely. Well, listen, looking back over your life, if you had the opportunity to give advice to a younger Mark Colebush, what advice would you give him?
Well, I think this career change has made me reflect a little bit on, you know, I kind of fell into healthcare by accident, and, you know, I had choices coming out of college, and I guess I didn't really wasn't mature enough to think about life this way, but if you're going to find a job where you can help people, the rewards are fantastic. That it's just, you can't get enough joy from when you help someone. That joy is overwhelming sometimes. So if I had to do it all over again, I think I would have went into this industry right out of college.
Good for you. Well, unfortunately, we can't turn back the hands of time, can we? You know, that clock is ticking for us all the time. I preach that often, is that the sooner you can realize what your purpose is and focus all of your attention and energy there, the happier you are and the more impact that you can make. So I think you're spot on.
Thank you.
Do you have favorite quotes or favorite books that you enjoy that inspire you? And if so, can you share those with us?
Definitely. I like Matthew Kelly. I'm not sure if you ever read or heard of Matthew Kelly.
Yeah, I saw him speak not long ago. Great guy.
Oh, I did too. He's so inspiring.
Yes.
Really enjoyed that. But my favorite quote by Matthew Kelly is, "Just do the next right thing and your life will begin to flood with joy." And it's so true. And he says that in his book, Perfectly Yourself. And basically it speaks to becoming the best version of yourself. If you do that next right thing, you're faced with decisions every day. And when you make that right decision at that moment, and then you move on to the next right decision, it just keeps multiplying.
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite books that he wrote is The Dream Manager. And when I heard him speak not long ago, one of the things that really stood out to me, and I've used it many times since then, is that, as we mentioned in the intro, we're both of us are men of faith, and one of the things that he says is that God is not a God of tweaking. He's a God of transformation, and throughout history, he has proven that that's what he's about. So sometimes I think that we come to him asking for him to tweak the little things in life, when what he really wants for us to do is to turn over our lives so that he can transform us in all that we do.
I've heard him say that. It's fantastic. It's very moving.
That it is. Well, Mark, having spent so many years in the healthcare industry, it is an ever-changing industry, but the pace is rapid for change. Now, what do you imagine the next 10 years of healthcare looking like?
Well, I think partnerships are very key right now because of the way things have gone with so many small hospitals. going out of business that cannot partner with someone. Technology is key. We're already seeing some of this, but using text messaging to confirm appointments. The amazing things could be done with telemedicine. I know there's been a lot of talk about socialized medicine, and a lot of people are pushing for that, but I really don't think that's going to happen within the next 10 years. I think if it does ever happen in our lifetimes, it's going to be at least 25 years out.
What do you see as the next chapter of your life? And I know, obviously, you just started a new chapter.
Yes, I did, and I'm looking forward to growing in this industry. I have a fantastic manager who I'm learning from every day, continuing to grow in it. And obviously, from a personal side, my son and daughter are, you know, in their 20s, so I'm guessing that one or both of them will be getting married here in the next 3 to 5 to 8 years, and then maybe grandchildren coming along, and then maybe in about 12 to 15 years thinking about retirement and playing a little bit more golf than I am right now.
Can you believe it's been 18 years or so since you and I worked together? It seems like yesterday.
Time has flown by.
Yes,
it's
has.
Incredible. Just what, crazy.
Any closing thoughts or leadership lessons that you want to share with the podcast audience today?
Yeah, I've done a fair amount of reading, and like I mentioned before, the servant leadership, and there's a book by Ken Blanchard called The Servant Leader, which is very good. And then there is another author by the name of Robert Greenleaf, who has several books on the matter, which I highly recommend. I guess from my perspective, my best supervisors were always there for me, but they never held my hand. They supported me, helped me grow, helped me see the big picture. I feel I'm the product of some very good leaders, and I learned a lot from them. And I had a couple bad ones along the way, and they kind of taught me what not to do. I've enjoyed my career, and I've really enjoyed this change I've recently made.
Well, Mark, I really appreciate you coming on today, and I know our listeners are going to want to reach out, find more about who Mark Colebush is and the services that you have to offer. If they want to, what's the very best way for them to find you and reach you?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn, so you could find me there. You could also call me or text me on my cell phone. That's 912-433-3856, or simply drop me a line via email. That's M. Colebush, that's MKOLBUSH at financialguide.com. Appreciate being with you today, Rob. I really enjoyed it and look forward to maybe seeing you in person here someday soon.
Fantastic. Good catching up with you. I'm excited about this next chapter in your life. Knowing you and what you stand for, your clients are going to be well served. So thank you for what you do for the Follow Well Company and the Ignite Leadership Series. Thank you very much, and make it a great day.